genocide. We want to stop the genocide of the Palestinian people. We want to work towards a more peaceful movement in the world. And we want to continue to fight for the return of indigenous lands back into indigenous hands. And these are demands to both of these administrations, because this entire democracy is built on the stolen lands of indigenous people. So this is what we're calling for at this time in history. You know, unprecedented levels of investment into indigenous languages, the return of indigenous lands back into indigenous hands, and a ceasefire.
Nick Tilson, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Founder and CEO of the Indigenous-led NDN Collective, a member of the Oglala Lakota Nation. He's speaking to us at a conference from Raleigh, North Carolina. And tune in on election night to Democracy Now!, Tuesday, November 5th, for a four-hour election special, War, Peace, and the Presidency. Join us from 8 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We'll also be airing an expanded two-hour election show on Wednesday, November 6th, from 8 to 10 Eastern Time in the morning. Any station, radio or television, can take these broadcasts as well. Democracy Now! Is currently accepting applications for our video news production and digital fellowship programs. You can learn more and apply at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Shrifa Bokadus, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Teresaina, Tammy Warnoff, Trina Nadura, Sam Alkoff, Tamari Astudio, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Hani Masood, and Hannah Elias. Our executive director is Julie Crosby. Special thanks to Becca Staley, John Randolph, Paul Powell, Mike DiFilippo, Miguel Nogueira, Dennis Moynihan. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
This is Norman Sylvester, the Boogie Cat. You're listening to KBOO Portland. 90.7 FM Community Radio.
Tune in to Higher Reasoning Reggae every Sunday morning at 3 a.m. Higher Reasoning Reggae is dedicated to bringing international reggae word and sound power to the massive airing early Sunday mornings at 3 a.m. Only on KBOO Portland.
Hi, this is Peter Himmelman. You're listening to KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM.
Good morning, and you are listening. You are continuing to listen to KBOO FM 90.7 on your FM dial. I'm Cecil Prescott, and this is More Talk Radio. It is a pleasure for me to greet you this morning, October 28th, I believe. It is the first day. It's the first day in the work week, but if your work week doesn't begin on Monday, it isn't the first day. However, greetings, and I welcome you to be a part of this radio program this morning. There's so much that's going on, and so much that have our attention. And, you know, it's a strange time, but, you know, this could be a strange week. You know, Halloween is coming up later this week, and perhaps it is a symbolic of the state of the world we are in. This morning, I invite you to reflect and to think about the world that we are living in and what things we are seeking to transform in our society. There are several things that I've been thinking about this past week that I would like to share with you. But first, I'd like to ask, since this Halloween is coming up, who are some scary characters or policies or institutions that frighten you, and why? Yeah, who will you I was going to say give treats to, but who? Which characters are scary? Why is this Halloween scary? Or is it scary? I'm interested in your thoughts. Not so much of whether or not you are trick-or-treating or what type of treats you will have for those who come to your door, but what are the scary characters? And speaking of scary characters, well, it's not a scary character. It's a scary institutions. A couple of papers, newspapers, that has a national or even international reach, decided not to endorse a candidate for president of the United States. The Washington Post and the LA Times are not endorsing candidates for presidents. When I heard of those, I said, well, it's the power of the modern day robber barons. I am familiar with the bromance between a certain candidate for president and a certain billionaire who is the owner of a major social media empire. But I guess it extends to others as well. Are there financial reasons? Are there political reasons? Are there business reasons why the Washington Post and LA Times choose not to endorse? Is it because they fear that they will upset one half of the voting population if they decide to choose one or the other of the major party candidates? Especially the right wing, who will not only denounce them as if they decided to support the Democratic nominee, will not only denounce them as, quote, fake news, but also might be a part of an attempt to make their business operation collapse to some degree. Question for all of us. Where are those who have the audacity to stand up to power, to speak truth to power? And as we reflect on the history of the press in the United States, to reflect, what does that mean? Where are the Catherine Grahams and the Ben Bradleys when you need them? Catherine Graham was the owner of the Washington Post in the 1960s and 70s. And as many of you are familiar with, as the owner of the Washington Post, she allowed her editors to do what they are hired to do, to be editors, and to gave the opinion piece, let the editor handle that rather than the owner. So where is Ben Bradley, who is the former legendary editor of the Washington Post? But those are just some of my thoughts, and there's so much more. So share with me, who are the scary creatures for Halloween for you, or other thoughts you have? Again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. And we'll go to April. Good morning, April. How are you this morning?
Hi, Cecil. I am doing pretty well. Little slow to wake up, but love your topic. I usually do.
Thank you.
So for the monstrous people for me, this Halloween season are the people who are running for president, mm-hmm. neither of which would be my choice. And I think no matter what happens with the election, we're going to have a lot of healing to do as a society after the election. And I just want to share a poem I wrote about that. Monstrous election, night-blooming horrors climb into our minds, build walls that separate us from each other, each in our private dystopian world to dance with a mirror image of reality without hopes, dreams, or community. So community is what we need to find again.
Yes, yes. Yes, thank you for sharing. And healing as a society, what, and thank you for those words you just share. What are some things that people can do to bring about the healing as a society?
Well, the one that jumps to my mind is just listening. I don't do social media myself, but, you know, of course I'm aware of it.
Yes.
And I hear about it in the memes and all that. And it just seems that we're getting farther and farther apart and less willing to even listen to each other. So we don't even know what, you know, people that we consider the other side are doing or thinking. So I think just learning to listen again would do a heck of a lot towards that.
Yeah. And that's a lot. Learning to listen again. That's a skill and something, as you stated, something we are either unable or unwilling to do these days. So
right.
That's something we need to practice.
Right.
Well, thank you, April. Any other thoughts?
No, that's about it. That's all that's really scaring me this year.
Okay, well, be aware and take action.
Okay, I will.
Thank you,
April. Everyone else, too. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
And you're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO. I'm Cecil, and let's hear what Janet has to say. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning. I love what April had to say. I hope that we can skip it all away, because as terrifying as Halloween can be, it's kind of like my birthday.
Oh.
November 1st is like New Year's in the Celtic New Year. And so if you are looking at the Celtic calendar, the last 3 days before November 1st, it's like a time to let it all go, let it all pass, and then start anew again.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, the terrifying idea about, like, maybe Dick Cheney is kind of, for me, like the Devadatta of the dark side. And then I think the fact that we've all been in such denial that we can't even talk about this live stream genocide, to even be thinking that there's people that are on the left or in the media thinking that the pager attack was great, and then and assassinations are great, and it's going to be all over when we're recognizing that the hubris of this imperial situation that's got to start going down. I think that was really great to hear April just skip it all away back to nicer, better times that we can raise up our humanity.
Yes, yes. So how do you imagine, you mentioned Dick Cheney, and it occurred to me, Dick Cheney it has now endorsed the Democratic candidate for president, and how things have changed. You know, Dick Cheney, who was the embodiment of the powers of evil, and apparently there are people even more dangerous than Dick Cheney, who's running for president. But oh well, Janet, thank you for your thoughts. Anything else?
Oh, I just remember back in the 50s when my mom would have a party, because my birthday we'd all done for apples and do fun, happy things. Now we have to worry about razor blades and apples.
Oh yes, but happy birthday and a joyous year ahead for you. Thank you, Janet.
Thanks for the great show. Keep it up.
Okay, thank you. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. It is that time of the year. Let's hear what Corey has to say. Good morning, Corey. How are you?
Good morning, Cecil. Thanks for taking my call. I'll keep it short and sweet. You mentioned Bezos in the Washington Post. I like to call him Elon Musk. They're basically what we call brilliant cowards. They mm-hmm. get to basically hide behind their money. If they would, like, you look at, and you can even say Elon at least has uh-huh. made a choice. You know, he's with Trump. You right. can't say that about Bezos. It's to me cowardice. I don't think that it would have moved the needle any, to be quite honest, but I think it would have shown, like, hey, I'm not going to put up with this. But he's, you know, he's rolling the dice. If she wins, of course, he'll cuddle up, you know, to that side. But and if Trump wins, then he'll cuddle up to that side. It's just he's a businessman, so I don't really care either way about them. I try not to buy Amazon products because of him. And the flip side is that living here in Seattle, his wife, Mackenzie, is amazing. She gives mm. his ex-wife, I'm sorry.
Ex-wife.
Ex-wife. She gives so much money to organizations, you know, things that are even in Portland and places like that. So I find her to be the opposite, probably, why they got divorced.
She knew something. Okay.
Yeah, she knew something. And when you talk about the fear aspect, and I was listening to yeah. April, and I'm also sorry, and I want to disagree because I have tried to have conversations, particularly with black men over the past several weeks. As of this weekend, I was in Chicago, and, you know, she said we don't listen. I'm listening, but if I'm listening to you and all you're spewing is garbage,
yes.
and there is a lack of critical thinking, and the flip side is it's a lot of Dunning-Kruger effect, like they say something and they think it's smart, and like, no, it's not smart, it's ignorant. You're just basically saying something ignorant. There was a gentleman in Chicago, I was there yesterday, and we were talking on Friday, and, you know, we were just having a discussion. I was there for a function, and he was talking about how he's supporting Trump because of XYZ, mm-hmm. and XYZ wasn't true. Like, nothing you said, my guy, I went through it point by point. I won't belabor the point,
yeah.
but there's that cognitive dissonance. Well, it doesn't matter. Well, then just say you like him. Just don't create a reason in your brain that's false to say right. you just want to support a guy who's, you know, been found liable of sexual assault. And so, yeah, I just don't have time. Like, I think that's the biggest fear is just this sort of what's been happening over the past several years is that, and I see this with a lot of men who decided to check out mm-hmm. and create their own reality.
Yes.
That's based in, you know, it is pretty sad. It's based in mixed martial arts. And, mm-hmm. and Donald Trump and hatred of women and misogyny, no. and that's it. There is no intellectual curiosity. And then they meet someone like me, and they're confused. Well, Corey, you're a veteran. You worked in law enforcement. Yeah, but I'm also a dude who grew up in the South, and I have a PhD, and I don't have time to listen to your like. You don't have to have a PhD to be enlightened. Like, I don't have time to just be ignorant for the sake of being ignorant. And I see that a lot. And I hope she wins the election. To be quite honest, you probably could determine what side I'm on. Mm-hmm. But I just think if she doesn't, it's because there's a lot of just, I would call, fearful, weak men. But the funny part is these are the men that think they're strong because
yeah.
they watch mixed martial arts. And because they support Donald Trump, I'm strong. Like, nah, dude, that's the opposite of strength. That's actually just, it's the opposite of strength and the opposite of leadership. And I think that's my biggest fear is to see so many men sort of fall into this place where they have created their own false reality.
Yes.
And then, you know, having to kind of contradict that, and they get upset. And then you see the cognitive dissonance happen in real time. Well,
yes.
they just either get angry or they just walk away. And I find that to be the, you know, I find it to be hilarious, but also quite telling.
Yeah, it is quite telling. And you know, in the moment, you know, I will have like a nervous laugh. But it's really disappointing, and it's a sad state of where we are as a society. So I just hope, this misogyny, and I think you are very accurate. I appreciate the way you laid it out in terms of this faux masculine culture, and how you shared in terms of how, you know, the culture and mixed martial arts and all of that. And Donald Trump fits right into that. So I'm not surprised.
100%. Thank you so much, Keith.
Okay.
I really enjoyed talking to you. Talk to you.
Thank you, Corey.
Bye-bye.
And you are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and our numbers are 503-231-8187. We had a few callers this morning, and I won't recite everything they said, but I'll recall some of the points that they made. Corey had an observation in terms of the presidential election and the appeal of Donald Trump to some men, and why that is the case, and his analysis of the appeal Mr. Trump has to many men. Janet reflected on also on the election, and reflecting on Dick Cheney in particular, and we began with April, who talked about how as a society we need healing and how we may get beyond the division we are in. All of that to say that we need to hear your thoughts. So give us a call at 503-231-8187. And while you are dialing, let's listen to Scott. Good morning, Scott. How are you today?
Wet.
Yes.
Listen, your last caller, I was really impressed by the fact that he was so smart and everybody else was so ignorant.
Expand more on that, because I think you...
Well, this is a... I am, of course, the center of the universe, therefore my opinions matter the most.
Well, of course.
That's a problem.
Yeah, yes.
But you got to think about... the word Twitter, what a cute little word that was. Who would take the word Twitter and make it into the word X? That's weird.
It's a weird world, but, the owners of Twitter, he's weird as well. So, hey.
Okay, if someone else bought a Tesla and offered to give it to me, I would not take it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your call and your thoughts this morning. And you are listening to More Talk Radio on KBOO. And let's go to our next caller. Tangent. Good morning, Tangent. What?
Hey, brother. Hi, Cecil. How are you?
I'm well.
I've got a lot of things. I wrote them down. We'll see how much time we have. But the last caller made me think again. Now, what does X signify? X is what people do to mark their name when they what? Cannot write?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not literate? Okay. There's one. But you started with newspapers. Okay. Yeah, I know. It just shocked me.
Soaking in your observation about X. I said, that's so profound. But continue, Tangent.
Yeah, I mean, X can also be a thing, like where you vote. I don't know, but it's a box. And anyway, yeah. But that was my first thought. And I just wonder how literal people are that respond, like, really angrily to things, but without probably knowing much about the subject or the person behind it. Anyway, but here we go. You were talking about Katharine Graham, one. Also owner of the Washington Post, but heiress of Reed Bank.
Yes.
So therefore, any editor she chooses, she can let him do what he wants because he's doing what she wants, right? This is an observation. Also, hey, I saw this on like C-SPAN or something. And these people were talking about how back in 1968 or something, a black man, I don't like the terms black, a colored person, the New York Times reported that a colored person burned a flag. The American flag is what the headline said. And there was no photo connected with it. They had the photo, but they didn't publish the photo until 6 days later. It was a Confederate flag. And at that time, on the New York, building, like the state building, it flew both the American and the Confederate flag. 100 years after the war, more than, okay? The people presenting this, they're going, they sure flubbed up that time. They know what they're doing. It wasn't a mistake. If they don't print the photo, there would be no story. But if it's a Confederate flag, there's not much of a story how many people would be upset by that or downset.
Okay, Tanjan, you've lost me.
Okay, they sell more newspapers in that week. They don't print the photograph.
Okay.
Okay, just now, just for fun, this Trump thing, a convicted felon is on the ticket. Now, I'm going to go back for humor's sake to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Zaphod, the two-headed president of the galaxy, and how did he was an ex-convict, he ran, he won, and at the inauguration, they were unveiling a new Heart of Gold hyperdrive spacecraft, and he walked up and cut the ribbon, stepped inside,
okay,
and
Tanjan,
took off. He took off.
Hey, Tanjan, you've lost me, and I think you've lost some of us. So let's try again at another time. But thank you so much for your call this morning. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. I'm Cecil. Give us a call and share with us your thoughts about the elections. What is scaring you this Halloween season? Santiago, good morning.
Good morning. You know, the only thing that's really, I mean, you know, it is kind of, I mean, it is kind of scary that an open fascist is the president, but I mean, we've had like, but you know, the thing is like, Trump is just saying the quiet part out loud. I mean, we've had multiple presidents with the same mindset. Okay. You know, we live in like a counterculture revolution, if you want to call it that, where we think that, you know, things, so much has changed, there's no way it could possibly be this way. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is that Trump isn't new. He's just a different form of something we've seen before.
I want you to expand on that, because many people said, oh, no, this is an existential difference has happened. And you say no, that Donald Trump, if you know about who we are in our society, is a natural outcome of who we are. How is Donald Trump an extension?
Well, I mean, look at a president like Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson's presidency was based around hunting down indigenous people.
Yes.
You know, we've had every president is a white supremacist, even a Barack Obama, because we all live in a white supremacist society. We've all been raised and steeped in it. Mm-hmm. And without a thorough re-education and reconditioning, there's no way we can break that. So, I mean, you look at, like I said, Andrew Jackson, you know, his presidency, and he's considered like, you know, the Jacksonian democracy cat. You know, but he was a dude who inherited a fortune, blew it all on booze and gambling, and then remade it again by murdering indigenous people en masse. So, mm-hmm. You know, and then you have, the president who showed Birth of a Nation in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fact of the matter is that, like, this country was founded on what Trump is running on. And
okay.
I think what scares me more than anything is that liberals don't see that. You know, they see Kamala Harris, and they're like, oh, you know, she's a strong black woman. You know, don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, I have no problem with women. The thing is, though, is that, like, she had the clear advantage of being able to cut ties with Biden and run on something completely different. But then when push came to shove, she ran to the center. In some cases, I mean, you know, she's planning on, I mean, she hasn't said it outright, but she's the money still set aside for building the border wall, and she keeps saying she wants stronger borders, but she's not talking about northern borders. She's not talking about Canada. She's talking about Mexico. You know, I mean, it's just, at the end of the day, I mean, it's just the fact that, like, liberals, I mean, like, you know, I get where Corey's at. Like, I don't, some people just don't have time, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, like, we ain't got nothing but time, and you know, the people who vote for Trump, the people who believe his lies, they're not. I mean, yeah, you're gonna have some people who naturally gravitate towards, you know, towards a strong man or a dictator, but There's a vacuum left by the absence of a counter of a like a true leftist party, because Democrats aren't leftists. Democrats and Republicans are different flavors of right wing. You know, they don't they might have some minute differences in terms of like how they, approach certain problems. But when it comes to key issues in terms of imperialism and like a foreign policy as well as like policy at home, they really do agree. And right now we're being given a hostage vote. We're saying, they want us to, there's a genocide going on in Gaza, but it's like, so if you don't vote for Kamala, with the genocide in Gaza, you're saying you're willing to throw away everything that we have here because people are dying. And, it's like, yes, if that was your people, what would you say? I mean, it's just the weirdest liberal, it's crazy. You can't tell me otherwise.
So you are like William Shakespeare, a pox on both your houses.
Huh?
A pox on both your houses. Democrats and Republicans are both flip sides of the same coin. And
yes.
Okay. Hey, well,
yeah.
Thank you, Santiago, for your thoughts. And I appreciate it. Have a great day. And you are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM. We've had a number of very insightful individuals who have shared with us their thoughts on the election and their thoughts on our society. Our last caller, Santiago, was sharing his thoughts on the election, particularly how both the Democratic and the Republican parties are very similar, and that they might be flip sides of the same coin. And so the lack of enthusiasm for one or both of the candidates is understandable. Other callers have also shared their thoughts about the election and about the division in our society. April began our conversation about the need to heal our society and the inability to listen to one another. Following April's comment, Corey called and talked about the challenges he continues to face when he engages in conversation with those who are have a different political opinion than he has. And his observation was that a lot of people's opinion is not based on facts, but on memes or lack of thorough investigations of what is true and what is not true. So what do you think? Are we a society where we are unable or unwilling to engage in meaningful conversation? Do we care about what the other side has to say? I began morning by another observation by the fact that both the LA Times and the Washington Post owners, and I think that's important to note, not their editorial boards, but the owners of these very important newspapers, decided not to make an endorsement for the presidential election. And I would say that unlike our last caller, Santiago, their failure to endorse either the vice president or the former president is not based on some ideological disagreement with both parties, but because they want to play it safe, as someone observed earlier. But can you play it safe? Can you stand on this side? Now, certainly there are individuals and and philosophies, and I don't want to mischaracterize them, but philosophies such as, I suppose, Santiago would state in that, yes, the two political parties are very similar, that they are there because they will continue to prop up the American capitalistic system, and so that they are similar, more similar than dissimilar, and so we shouldn't say one is better than the other. Now, that's a very principled philosophical stand that you may agree or disagree with. However, I think what's happening with the, I suspect what's happening with the Washington Post is the fact that, the billionaire owner wants to play it safe. And not to upset the political parties in case, because he wants to be at the table regardless of who wins the election. But are we in a society where we can play it safe? Well, maybe some people can, such as the billionaire owners of the Washington Post. But can individuals play it safe by saying it is not important? Now, I'm not talking about the philosophical viewpoint, such as some of our callers have shared today, where they have very strong ideological policy disagreements with one party or the other. However, we need to ask ourselves, what does it mean to be, to make a principled stand or not to make a principled stand? Let me hear what are some of your thoughts about this. Our numbers again are 503-231-8187. And Halloween, all these scary characters. Now, is there a political, well, there might be a political party. Are there political candidates this season that are scary? And to go back to some of our callers, who are your reliable news sources? But in the meantime, let's go to our next caller, Tuwasi, who has some thoughts to share. Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm doing really well. I appreciate your show today.
Thank you.
I was calling because I have something that I feel is scary. It gives me the heebie-jeebies and makes me afraid when I think about it, because I don't really have any agency or power to change this, and it makes me afraid that I might need emergency help. And the emergency first responders who come might not be very helpful. Because, in dire situations, the first people who arrive a lot of times are police, firemen, and EMTs. So here in Portland, our emergency responders have shown racism.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have, directly hosted the Proud Boys in Patriot Prayer. So they blend hatred, racial hate, racism, with extremist far-right ideologies. And those are the people who I might rely on for rescue if something terrible happens. So, that is scary to me.
And
I really don't have any agency to change it. So, a lot of people will say, oh, if you don't like something, change it from the inside. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, if you try and go and get a job at Portland Fire Rescue, or God forbid, you try and get a job with the Portland Police Bureau.
Yes.
You will face discrimination. They have layer upon layer of discrimination that keep people who are not, like them, locked out of those positions.
Right.
And then once somebody who is from the outside, like, say, a Native American, like myself, or a Black person or a Latino or someone from the LGBTQ community, you know, anybody who is from a marginalized group, once they end up inside of these institutions, they're horribly discriminated against because there are gangs of hate-filled people that are the first responders in the city of Portland.
Right.
And
Let me ask you your observation, because it's true, right? You know, if you apply for a position in you know, emergency service, or like you said, God forbid, the police bureau, you face discrimination, but you also, you know, there are people from marginalized communities as part of these systems, but that they are either, my observation, they are either silenced or they're unable to make any meaningful impact.
Well, if you're like me, then you see the city of Portland a fair bit from inside the city of Portland.
Yes.
And one of the things that I observe is the police force and the fire department responding to things, or just around town, because we live in the same community. And it's easy to see the racism and the way it affects people of minority communities inside of those bureaus.
Yes.
You just see it on their faces in public. But inside of the station houses, they have an even more toxic environment that they maintain with open racism.
Mm.
So, you know, as a community, we accept that, and that terrifies me.
Right? Do we have to accept it, or why do we accept it, or have we just been beaten down so much that we accept it?
Well, it's a similar thing to the Washington Post.
Mm.
Now that I've come out and said I don't endorse racism in Portland Fire Rescue or the Portland Police Bureau, any time that they respond to me, they'll say, oh, it's that guy who doesn't respect our racism. And so now that I put myself in a vulnerable situation, I put my name on the air saying I'm against this, and now I could face reprisal easily. They have my address and phone number. They know where I live. You know, inside of their computer systems, they might even have a dossier on me, or access to a dossier through a data bank system. So by saying you're against something or for something better, like Portland Street Response, you put yourself at risk of the institutions who have power over you currently. So I called in and said, I'm afraid of these institutions. Those institutions have power over me. They could do me harm. That's what the Washington Post is saying.
I see.
They're saying, if I say I'm against Trump and he gets agency over me, he'll do harm to me. So I'm not going to say I'm against him because I'm afraid that he'll use his agency over me in a harmful manner.
Right.
My view is they already use their agency in a harmful manner.
Yes.
I am not personally harmed right now, but there are, the whole community is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole community is, because our ethic is harmed by accepting it.
Right.
It does a group harm. So think the opposite of KBU, who does a group good.
Uh-huh.
So fund KBU, fund group goods, support group goods, and thank you.
Hey, thank you so much, Tawasi, and for sharing. You are listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station. I'm Cecil Prescott, and this is More Talk Radio. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Our last caller made some pithy observations about people of color and people in marginalized community and their inability to impact society and to have transformative agency within these within these very important bureaucracy. His observation on emergency services and police services is that people of color are marginalized and they are unable to have a voice and power within those agencies to make meaningful change within, and the damage that these powerful entities have on society and on communities. What are some of your thoughts as we approach the election and as we approach the Halloween? What are things that are scary to you? What are institutions or individuals that are scary characters? I began this program this morning by observation of the inability of the owners of the Washington Post or the LA Times, not the inability, the unwillingness for them to say, to make an endorsement for presidents of the United States. Now, this, my argument is not necessarily that, well, their inability to make an endorsement is troubling because I wonder why. Is it because they are afraid? And our last caller made some observations about that. And it occurred to me after we ended our conversation, what is, and I don't know, you know, the number two or the number three richest person in the whole universe has to be afraid of Donald Trump or Vice President Harris? Why is it that these titans of industries are unable, and maybe to make a decision to say that we want you to vote for this candidate or the other candidate, and maybe they are making a decision by saying they can't, they won't make a decision. This silence actually speaks volumes. And so what they're saying, that what is the way it ought to be, and things cannot change. Well, things can change, and we do have the ability to make changes. Tawasi observed quite accurately, I believe, that they as an individual are unable to make substantive changes institutionally. But I think all of us individually do, because we are have power. How we use that power depends on whether or not, for most of us, we are willing to work together with one another. And so I begin, and that takes us back to what April said at the beginning of this program, of the need to listen and to engage in conversations with one another. Corey shared an example of that in conversations with other people, with people you disagree with. Corey stated that it was difficult sometimes to listen to those who had other opinions, and shared whether or not they had some similar thoughts. But I think the harder thing is to be willing to engage in those conversations, as difficult they might be. That's the challenge for all of us, regardless of our ideological perspective, to hear and listen to those of other viewpoints. So let's hear and listen to a viewpoint from our next caller. Ed, good morning, Ed. Thank you for calling.
Morning, Cecil. First, I want to say this is one of the first times Santiago is like 100% correct in my vision.
Whoa, but the other
thing I wanted to say is that he's not afraid of the president or the vice president. He's ingeniously smart because he's not putting off his customers, his clientele. If he said that he supported Trump, I would absolutely not 100% support him at all. So it's not the president or the vice president that they're fearful of. It's their bottom line and their clientele.
Their clientele, yeah. So are you saying he doesn't want to piss off half the population or what? Is that it?
I mean, how much do you think he'd bring in tomorrow if he did?
Uh-huh. Okay.
And on that note, I'm offended by Americans that don't vote with their money. They say one thing and they financially support another, because there's a lot of these, quote, progressive or liberal people that drive flipping Teslas.
Mm.
And so their money does not vote what their mouths say they do.
This is
the American thing, is that we're not looking at how we truly vote, because we don't vote at the polls as much as we do with our dollars.
That's an important point. Why don't you expand on that? Because, yeah, we might, if we're, you know, very good citizen, you know, vote maybe once a year. But, you know, every day we go, we make decisions and we vote with our dollars. So how do you vote for your dollars in terms of political decisions you make? How do you spend your money? I assume you don't drive a Tesla?
I definitely don't drive a Tesla. I drive an old Volkswagen TDI because it gets the best fuel mileage without having the expenditure of a brand new vehicle. And I try to buy my parts from Germany because it's a German car. And I try to buy as much other stuff as I can from the United States of America. If it says U.S. made, I'm much more likely to buy it. And I go without things because you can't find them made in the United States of America.
Mm.
Or I would rather buy from Canada or Mexico or South America. But voting with your dollars means also looking where something's manufactured and choosing what you're spending your money on.
Excellent, excellent. So actually, election day is every day, because you make decisions every day. And
exactly.
Wow.
And more people spend their money on Chinese and Teslas and anything that does not support their values, then the more that they are supporting everything that's against them.
Yeah. But doesn't that takes work, you know. It's just so much easier for me just to go and just grab something without even thinking about, you know, oh my gosh, where's this money going to, or how is it being used?
Yes, and it even goes down to buying stuff from Amazon that's got Sunday delivery, and you're like, I don't want to work on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I do everything I can not to buy things that are going to be delivered on Sunday, because I don't want my postal worker to have to work on Sunday.
Mm. Thank you for calling and reminding us that everything we do is important, and we make choices every day, and those choices impact our society. So elections, as you know,
one thing louder than words.
Yeah. Hey, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Okay. Well, continue to live by your values. You as well. Our number's here, 503-231-8187. In the last call, it just reminded us to live by our values. What are your values, and how are you living by them? It's a reminder, you know, what, 10 days? Oh, no, 9 days for election. So try to get your ballot in before then. In the meantime, let's hear what our next caller has to say. And Arthur, good morning.
Good morning, Cecil. It's a wonderful day. I want to, off the topic, every Saturday in November, I'm going to wear a homemade T-shirt that says, Israel Murders Children.
Okay.
And I plan to do that every Saturday in November. And if anyone wants to join me in that venture, go ahead. I'm not going to congregate in one place. I'm just going to, you know, go shopping.
Okay, so
go about town.
Okay, well, that's important, because not only to wear the shirt, but you want people to see it, right?
Yeah, and I wanted to, you know, it's obviously going to cause some people to become angry. So this, I'm taking this on myself, and I'm not saying to get out in a crowd and wear, but to get out and about doing your regular business.
So what do you think it will get some people upset? What else do you think it might generate? You know,
I might get a lot of thumbs up. I might motivate people to wear their own shirt with that message.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reason I got motivated, because I saw a guy at the convenience store wearing a professionally screen printed T-shirt,
mm-hmm.
and I gave him the thumbs up, and it kind of inspired me. So I'm hoping that there are a lot of people that think what Israel is doing is murder.
Yeah.
Straight out murder. I mean, there's no self-defense involved. It's obvious that they just want that land. They're probably scheming with the U.S. to get an Israeli empire going, like the U.S. has 800 military bases. Israel is just a partner in this giant corporation. But anyway, that's a whole different discussion.
But I think what you're doing is allowing people to think creatively. What can I do? What can I do to make a difference? And that some people who would just throw up their arms and said, "There's nothing I can do." And one caller earlier mentioned, you know, they as an individual have little power. Another one said that we elect. Being a responsible citizen, meaning doing something every day, and your suggestion, what you're going to do every Saturday in November, is taking action, and it's making a difference, because I think, as you say, people will see you wearing that shirt. Some people will give you the thumbs up. Some people will probably disagree, and you may engage in conversations with people of various political stripes. So. You remind us that we all can do something to make a difference. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. And I think people should start in these days and these times think about their own decision-making, because you're not going to control the major corporations. But mm-hmm. I'm going to give someone else a last minute to get in. Thanks, Cecil. Have a wonderful day.
Hey, thank you so much. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. We are always here to be a station for you. We've had so many great conversations this morning of people who care about our society. You know, April began our conversation by talking about healing our society. And our last caller just reminded us how important all of us can make a difference. Each one can make a difference. There was an observation earlier by a caller who honestly admitted that they have no power. They are not like the owners of the L.A. Times or the Washington Post. And they observe that marginalized communities are threatened every day. But we were also reminded this morning that individuals, communities that are under siege, all can take action. All can make an action by allowing others to see, to hear, to be aware of your presence, and to be engaged, and for you to engage with others, to engage in a way to transform society for the better. So regardless of one's political or ideological perspective, each person, each community can make a difference. And this season where there is so much that is scary, so much that is frightening, there is yet so much that we can do to bring about the healing of our society. So whether it is canceling your Amazon Prime membership, or whether it is speaking to your neighbor across the street. We all can make a difference. We all can do something. And each drop is important. Do not give up your power or your ability to make a difference, because we all can do it. Continue to be there for one another and for your community. As your community radio station, KBOO, continues to be there with and for you. Stay tuned for more programming. I'm Cecil Prescott. For more talk radio, have a great day.
Hi, this is Mark Sanford Gross, and when I'm in Portland, I listen to KBOO, KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance.